How's everybody today? Praise be to God. Are you blessed and highly favored? This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a great day to die to yourself. It's amazing on how our circumstances allow us to get into a place for learning the ways of the Lord, but being changed and learning about walking into a whole new realm. And that's what it's about, because there's a difference between truth and lie. Amen? Truth and lie. And one of the things that happens in our life is deception is Satan's weapon. Everybody's a good person, but too many people are deceived. And what happens is God allows us, through the prayers of others when we can't pray, to fall into a circumstance and finally we say, help! And there's only one who can help, and that's the Lord. See, mercy says, when you say, Lord, have mercy upon me, he says, you ask him, consider me. When he considers you, he releases his grace. And that's his plan. The first part of his plan is to repent.
Amen.
Forgive me for being an idiot. Forgive me for all the things I've done. And he says, okay, now we can get going. See, salvation is the first door, the access to learning. Just because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior doesn't mean you got it. That's the start of it. And it's only the start of it. Is everybody okay? So in this, then God places us to a place to learn. Always puts us in a place to learn. You know, we want things to happen to us instantaneously. You know, like some magical wand's going to run over you or something. It might be a truck that runs over you, but God is not microwave. There's a process of learning. And so in that, when you ask for help, the Lord rescues you and puts you in a place to learn. And as you learn, you change. Because the more light you eat, the more darkness leaves you, and the more you change. Would you turn to the book of Mark, please? If you need a Bible, we definitely have plenty of Bibles. Anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand. We'll bring you a Bible. In Mark chapter 12. You know, we all know that things are happening and happen rapidly. There are things that are happening that are kind of amazing to us, that are happening right before our eyes. Well, everybody knows that something's about to occur. There's going to be an event that is going to happen. In other words, there was an event that happened in the United States called 9/11. We all know that there's something else getting ready to happen that is going to be nothing compared to 9/11. It's going to be such an awakening. We have awakenings right now all over the place with weather, tsunamis, earthquakes, disasters, economic things. But there's going to be a great awakening, even greater. Things will continue to increase more, more, and more. And the purpose of the awakening is so that God's people can awaken to come out of darkness, that there would be a desire to come out of darkness. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 18, hallelujah, I think it's 12. In verse 18, and then some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him, and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying he left no offspring. The second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all the women died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? See, the reason why they're called Sadducees is because they are sad, you see, because they can't see. And Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. So if you make it home, you're going to be an angel like in heaven. Amen? You have a glorified body. And in this, he said, verse 20, he said, But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. In other words, they did not even understand the scriptures themselves, even though they were out preaching it. He said, I am the God of the living, not of the dead. I want to share something important in this area. As human beings, there are two realms. We have two lives. We have a physical life and a spiritual life. There is a physical life and a spiritual life. An animal only has a physical life. It does not have a spiritual life. But human beings have a spiritual life and a physical life. Until someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, their Lord, and their God, that person is dead spiritually. Has everybody got it? That person is dead and cannot enter heaven. It has no spiritual life. I want to say this again. So when you and I are out in the world and we're speaking to people who don't know Christ, that person is dead. You're hearing from a dead person. They have no spiritual life. There's only one way, truth, and life, and that is through Christ Jesus. That's it. Other than that, you may think you're alive because you play sports. You may think you're alive because you work out. You may think you're alive because you eat food. You may think you're alive because of all the things you go to work. You have a house. You have a family. You have children. But you are dead without Jesus Christ. And you have no spiritual life whatsoever. And we are spirits. And God sent us into this realm to fulfill a mission. We are on a mission of God in this realm. Did you ever ask yourself why you live in the United States? When you look at all the other countries and all the other nations that are poor and hungry and striving and being abused and killed and all kinds of other things, we live in the United States because we were ordained by God, sent here to rescue those who are in darkness. That's why we live here. That's our purpose. Again, there is a physical life and there is a spiritual life, and God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. In Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 7. Is everybody there? Is anybody there? Hebrews 3, 7. Is everybody okay? Let's speak it together. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and I saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if that word means cooperation, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. In other words, departing from the living God is because an individual has a hardened heart, or they may have walked with the Lord, and now their heart has become hardened, and they have walked away. Dead people have a hardened heart towards God. Did you ever notice that when you try to tell someone about Jesus, they stand up. When you're out in the world, I mean, look at what's going on in the world right now. They're taking all the commandments out, all the things, prayer out of school, this, that, one. They don't want to hear anything about Jesus. They stand right up. They'd rather promote promotion of abortion, same-sex marriage, all the things that defile God. And in this, a person becomes a hardened heart and begins to walk away. Even a believer can fall into that trap and begin to blame God for everything they're going through. Their heart gets hardened. They don't want to communicate no more. They look at everyone else. They blame everything, everyone. They're not willing to take their own responsibility. Why? They're idiots. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 8. It says, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to who? The working of who? Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie and that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, the primary tool which we've talked about before, Satan's greatest weapon, the primary tool of Satan's kingdom is deception. If he can keep you deceived, he can keep you in bondage. Deception. Deception. What's he trying to do? He's trying to deceive, or he's trying to convince human beings that the lies they believe are true. He tries to convince people that the lies that they hear or believe are true, even that they believe that they're from God. The purpose is to keep that person spiritually dead until physical death occurs. Because if a person stays spiritually dead, when physical death occurs, that person is eternally lost. In Ephesians chapter 4, we walk among the dead. We are the living walking among the dead. That's why he gives us truth. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. For he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we are being equipped, aren't we? We must be equipped. You can't go into battle without a weapon. You can't go into battle without knowing the strategy of your enemy. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of what? Deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. Everyone say grow up. Everyone say mature. In all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, by which every part does its share. Everyone says, does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles or the world walks, in the futility of their minds. In other words, that's the darkness of the mind. Having their understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now this is powerful. So there's the equipping of the saints for battle. The very essence of spiritual warfare is lies versus truth. It's lies versus truth. How many people are still willing to stay in a lie when it's not working? People waste their time, their money, staying in the lie that's not working. The very wages of warfare is to confuse the mind and capture the heart. The purpose is to confuse the mind and capture the heart. That's what the enemy tries to do. I'm going to say that again. He wants to confuse the mind and capture the heart. And he does this by darkening your understanding. Why? Because when your understanding is darkened, in other words, when you do not understand the things of God, when you don't understand the love of God, when you don't understand the strategies of your enemy, when you do not understand how to do spiritual warfare, when you do not know how to get into the presence of God, when you do not understand. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of understanding, lack of truth, lack of knowledge. When understanding is darkened, what happens is it leads to a hardened heart. Has everybody got it? It leads to a what? A hardened. Do you ever see petrified wood? That's what happens to the heart. That's why God called it stone. Because the heart becomes petrified. It leads, a petrified heart is a loss of sensitivity to God, to his unction, to his presence, to his voice. This hardened heart causes us to think according to what people say, to think according to what we read, but not to think according to what God says. See, because when God speaks, it's always associated with time and place. It's associated with when and how. I want to share this again. Darkening of your understanding leads to a hardened heart. It is a petrified heart. When a heart is hardened, it leads to a loss of sensitivity. When there's a loss of sensitivity, that individual wants to immerse itself or indulge in all kinds of other things because it's looking for a fulfillment. That's why people become workaholics. That's why become addicts and all kinds of things. Indulgence of all kinds of things, even of impurity. They continue to lust for more that reaches a point of spiritual destruction. The end result is always spiritual destruction. Always. There's a spirit I want to talk about that is so involved in this, surrounding in this, and promoting this. He's called a spirit of addiction. Every time you say addiction, people think of drugs. Addiction, the spirit of addiction. Addiction is a false belief of a false utopia. If fulfillments always lead to spiritual destruction. It is started by an open door of a hardened heart. It's influenced by a darkened understanding, ignorance, people destroyed from lack of knowledge. The spirit of addiction is fed by emotion. It is fed by emotion. Lust is addiction. Covetousness is addiction. Materialism can be addictive. Idolatry is addiction. Gluttony is addiction. Perversion, fear, oppression, drugs and alcohol. Self-indulgence that rule the will of man over the will of God is called a spirit of addiction. It's always destroying or waiting to destroy the physical body because it knows if that person is in that arena of separation from God, because the spirit of addiction is known as sin. Sin is the presence of evil, and that spirit is known as a demon. So if the devil is always trying to see, because the enemy signs spirits to you, he knows exactly. First, he tries to keep you in darkness of understanding. Then he tries to harden your heart. And he tries to bring you a dullness of sensitivity of God's will, his voice. Then he tries to put you in a replacement of indulgence, which is addiction, because you're looking for something more. And the end result is destruction, spiritual destruction. A demon is the offspring of Nephilim, known as they are demon servants. Or those Nephilims were offsprings of giants. They were the giants at that time. These were angels that came into the world and had sex with women and produced offsprings. They are known as demons. Again, they rule the will of man over the will of God. When you have a demon, his purpose is to rule the will of man over the will of God. In Philippians, in Psalm 119, let's go there. Psalm 119. Spirit of addiction. It's more than drugs and alcohol. How about pornography? Spirit of addiction. How about cigarettes? Spirit of addiction. Why? It's ruling over the will of man. Has everybody got it? It's ruling the will of man to overcome the will of God. What about overeating? Of gluttony, still a spirit of addiction. The spirit of addiction is used tremendously. It takes our children out, takes men and women out, takes the servants of the Lord out, if they let them. In Psalm 119 and verse 35. Now let's start at 33. Let's speak it. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to what? Covetousness. Why? Because covetousness is addiction. Turn away my eyes from looking at what? Useless, worthless things. And revive me in your way. Establish your word in your servant, who is devoted to fearing you, reverence, honor, and respect. See, that gets lost in that arena. There's no more reverence, honor, and respect to God. It's all that the desire is to maintain self and feed that spirit. Incline my heart to truth, not to covetousness. That word covetousness also means addiction. Incline my heart to truth, not addiction. Covetousness is an obsession to have at all cost. You know, Esau was one who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He didn't care. Again, his understanding was darkened. His heart became hardened. He was no longer sensitive to the will of God. And he was looking for another indulgence to replace God's presence. So he was a hunter. He began to exchange the things. In fact, he liked food to where he's willing to give up his birth inheritance for a bowl of soup. Many people are willing to give up their inheritance. Even believers are willing to give up their inheritance or even compromise their inheritance. And they never will receive the fullness of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Satan's kingdom promotes addiction in a multiple levels and ways. Promotes that spirit. That's why people get up in the morning, the first thing they do is they get ready for work instead of going to seek the Lord. See, whatever is between you and God, there's an addiction involved. You may be your worst enemy. You may be addicted to yourself. The word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. We're to be first strikers. It's because people don't know how to spiritually battle because they've not gone and learned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, let's speak it together. Paul writes, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexual immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. In other words, you live in the world, you're living among the dead that are involved in sexual immoral acts, same-sex marriage. We're to be a witness to them. Does everybody understand that? We're to be ready to tell them. We're to be a sign and wonder to them. We are to be the way, the truth, and the life for them because of Christ who is in us. Because there's no other way out. There's only one life. In verse 11, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. In other words, there are those who are in the body of Christ that are dying, who is sexually immoral or covetous or idolater or reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person and hope that person will get it in turn. Why? Because that person has given up eternal life for death. If he dies in that condition, he goes to hell. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. But I accept you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. He is a covenant God. Who you serve when you die is where you go. I guarantee it. Either the demons come and get you, or the angels do. One or the other. There is no escape. There is only one way to have life, and that is in Jesus Christ. And the word believe means to follow. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't have to be concerned about losing eternity. But if you're one that puts things before God, you better be careful. Is everybody okay? In verse 12, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside? So Paul says he means outside of the body. Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. So God is saying that person who was inside is now turned outside. If that person is not willing to turn, then let them go. The course must run. And hope that that person falls hard enough so that God will rescue him quickly. Or that person cries out. Again, we live among the walking dead. But one who proclaims to be a brother but refuses help, let them go. They have become outsiders and not insiders because the hardened heart destroys the ability to discern what is right and wrong and what is best. Or even can't discern real consequences of their actions. Think about when we were out there. They can't even discern the consequences of their actions. I'm telling you, I can speak to somebody who's got that spirit of addiction, and they can't hear you. Their only next thing is, I have to go. Because they run from the presence of God. They run back into evil. That's why they refuse to fellowship. People refuse. They call it, oh, I don't want organized religion. No, you come in to get connected. Because if you're not willing to get connected, you're disconnected. And you'll stay in your false belief system. You'll think you have a sense of utopia. You may have a drive, a nice car, a nice house and things, and you think God's blessing you. Let me tell you, the devil can bless you too. We are in an era right now where we must be more sensitive and discerning. We must come out from among them. We must stand strong. Look at what's going on, even TV. What does it promote? Every time you turn the station on, there's a commercial that says, oh, you feel this way? Take this. And they got this little, to help you sleep, this butterfly that flies around your living room. Yes, but the side effects are suicide. But it's okay. Just take this for a while. If you feel like killing yourself, call your doctor. I don't think a dead person knows how to dial a phone. But everything you see is promoted. Drugs, pharmakia, black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. Everything that you see now is promoted with some kind of medication. Oh, if you have this problem, take this. But if you, and they go to, it's really will help you tremendously. Then they go, and the side effects are death. Because the world is promoting death. They do not promote life. And the spirit of addiction. Do you know that the number one killer right now is pain pills? Pain pills. Pain pills is the number one killer. The number two killer is your doctor. I don't know how many people, they didn't die of the disease. They died from overdose of medication. Or the medication was killing them from taking it so long. Their liver's deteriorated. They're all kinds of things. But, you know, they're not going to tell you that because the ruler of this earth is Satan. He runs the medical field. He runs the prescription companies. He runs the oil. He knows everything. If he runs the world, hello. Like he doesn't have technology. He knows. He's got his people placed all over. His whole push is for one world order. Amen? 2 Corinthians 6. Spirit of addiction. In other words, it's all artificial. They want to take the reality of trusting in God away. Where people are becoming more and more dependent on the government. That is addiction. People think first, maybe I can get disability. How about get healed? How about fight for the healing instead of standing in line for the check from the government? See, that's addiction. Because it's dependency on government. That's with Satan's kingdom. If he rules everything, I'm telling you, that spirit of addiction is infiltrating, destroying marriages, destroying children, putting people in prison, and killing people where they're overdosing and going to hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 11, is everybody there? O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections, or your feelings or desires. Emotional feelings. Emotional. People are led by how they feel. I don't know how to do that. I don't feel like. I don't feel like going to service. I don't feel like worshiping God. I don't feel like praying. I don't. Three eyes and you're out. Let me tell you something. People who are led by their feelings are the most untrusted person around. They'll tell you one thing and they'll do another. Because they are led by feelings and not truth. And there are many in the body of Christ who are still granolas, nutty and fruity. They go by their feeling. Oh, I feel, I feel, I feel. Oh, come out. This is how I feel. I'm just going to go when I feel like I'm. And they are dangerous. They are dangerous. Oh, they got all emotions, man. They get the most side effects of flesh. Because you are restricted by your emotions. Verse 13, now in return for the same I speak as to children, you also be open. But do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, you're around these people. Let me share something with you. There are people in the body of Christ that are proclaimed Christians, but they're still not doing the things that they're supposed to. Everybody got it? They're still not doing the things that, and they rely on their wealth, their abilities, their talents, instead of God, and their emotions. Do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Belial is the ruling spirit of the flesh. Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore means if you'll do this, if you'll come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Again, the affections are emotions. They can take you captive and lead you to abandon spiritual logic or discernment or sensitivity. So you can have what you want and feed that spirit of addiction immediately. It dulls you. Did you ever go see something that you wanted? Everyone's wanted something but couldn't afford it. Boy, you calculated how you could get it. I want this. This is what I want. And it keeps putting you in a hole, taking bread off of your table, taking this, taking your children out of school, taking whatever it is, whatever the damage is. You're still following something that God has not ordained. And that's when we come out of it. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's amazing how many people just won't look at that fruit. And they keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Over and over and over. Is everybody okay? Remember, addiction is sin. Sin is the presence of evil, and that is a demon. Disembodied spirit, needing a spirit who gets fed by emotion. 1 John chapter 3. I'll do anything to get that. And they do, but they never get it because they're not sensitive enough to turn. Their heart is hardened. You know, out of the mouth speaks the heart, right? You'll know them by their fruit. The problem is everybody's looking for everybody else's fruit but their own. Start writing down your own fruit and see what happens. Or humble yourself and say, what do you think of my fruit? Ask somebody. Not today in here, okay? Wait till you leave. Go home and do it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let's read it. Let no one what? Deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. One of the things that the enemy does is move you out of state of being of a born again. Because see, born again is a state of being. It is a state of being. It's associated with the three chambers of the tabernacle. They use this word so ridiculously sometimes. Oh, you're saved, you're born again. Well, then why does that person go out and use again? Why does that person go do whatever instantly? I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's go to the bar. Well, you ain't born again. You may accept it to see, but it needs to get birthed. There must be a conception and birth where you are born again by the Spirit. That's where the Word says, he who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. That's called the second chamber of the tabernacle. That person is still in the first chamber where it's always salvation, 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 salvation. But people move from the second chamber back to the first one. They're not walking in that born-again state of being because their flesh is manifested all the time. Is everybody okay? Yeah, I'm born again. You ain't born again. You're in the first court and you need to repent. Anyways, I'd go on this all day long. Hallelujah. Verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Oh, hallelujah. Whoever does not practice, say practice. Practice. Say practice. Practice. Come on, say practice. Practice. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So put that on your list when you're checking stuff. In other words, who you being influenced by. Nor is he who does not love his brother. Ooh. Sin is of the devil. Individual falls into a place of losing all sensitivity, taken over by addictive spirit. Heart so hardened. Petrified heart. What it does is it causes more sin too. More often, in other words, because when a person no longer can get filled by one, it looks for something more to be fulfilling and they sin more and more and more. Eventually, the sinner seeks for new sins that are stronger and more demanding. This self-destructive behavior is a demon taking control of an individual. It will also promote violence, jealousy, works of the flesh, and murder. But the end result is spiritual destruction. You know, people do things not because they always have control. It's because they've given up control to a demon. A person cannot molest a child without a demon. A person cannot murder someone, cold-blooded murder, without a demon. A person cannot commit suicide without a demon. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're not willing to make what is unseen to become seen. They're too caught up on what they see and what they feel and what they think. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world. Who's the ruler of the world? Satan, his kingdom, or the things in the world. So do you think he rules music? Amen. Does he rule TV? Does he rule the media? Does he rule the commercials? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Does pride lead to death? Yes. Does sin lead to death? Yeah. Does lying lead to death? Yeah. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So are you going to do the will of man or the will of God? Which one's going to last forever? The will of God. So you better find out whether you're doing really the will of God or the will of your desire. So we understand that. The will of the flesh, the will of man. Are you really doing the will of God? And you'll know by the fruit of it. If it's promoting death, stealing, killing, destroying, division, strife, if it's interfering with the will of God, the divine order of God, then it's not God. And I encourage you to get out of it. I can't, you know how many believers I talk to are bartenders? Don't you read the word? Yeah. Well, it's okay to drink. No, it's not okay to drink. Jesus warned us that. Would Jesus turn water into wine to get everybody smashed? No, he turned it into juice. That's why the tender, the guy that was there said, oh, well, they usually put the best out first. Why? Because it ferments. Oh, it's okay to have a glass of wine here. Some people believe that. It's fermented. Even Jesus rejected the fermentation when he was on the cross. Well, that's all right. He says, do not drink the wine when it clings to the glass, because it will bite you like a viper. A viper is a spirit. Did you ever drive by a bar? Food and spirits. I want them to tell the truth. They need to replace every word that says spirit with demon. Food and demons. Let's see how many people go in there then. Only ones that are demonized to fulfill, to get fed, right? Praise God. Verse 18. Let's speak it. Little children, is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing. And you knew from the Holy One, and you know what? All things. In other words, you are sensitive, you are discerning, you can see, you can hear, you know when the enemy's coming to bring you a trap. You know. You know that when you stepped over the boundary lines that God has set in your life, that you need to come back. You know. You know when you're in the flesh and you hate it. You know. Because you don't want to grieve the Spirit. You know. But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Falling out of grace to serve the Lord. That's what many people do. By putting self first than God. And it leads to spiritual destruction. Again, the ruled world of Satan and coming one world order is promoting addiction. It is promoting addiction in every way that it can. I mean, really, if they really loved you, would you have places that you can go buy cigarettes and alcohol? Hello. It's kind of amazing to me that even some of the big breweries have a drug addiction facility. It's ridiculous. Okay, let's get you drunk, addicted, and we'll try and clean you up. But, you know, it only lasts for a little while because the only thing they know how to do is medicate you. So they make you into a zombie thinking you're clean and you're good. Yeah, I've been sober for 3 years, man. I can't walk, though. I can't work. In fact, I'm drooling like a madman. Oh, but I go get this ability. Yeah, I'm trusting God and the government. You ain't trusting God. You trust in the government. You become from independent in Christ to dependent on Satan's kingdom. Is everybody all right? The government wants you to be completely dependent on them and to believe all their lies and promoting evil in the sight of their Creator and dishonoring the King of Glory's presence. And there will be judgment. In James chapter 1, almost done. 40 more scriptures. No, I'm only kidding. James chapter 1. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 17. Let's speak it. James 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear, and slow to speak. In other words, shut up and listen. Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And be what? Doers of the word. There's a lot of speakers, but not enough doers. Oh, they can quote the scriptures and live in the flesh. Only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is an idiot. Or a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, everyone say continue, in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a what? Doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any thinks that he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and keep oneself unspotted from the world. I want to close it. 2 Timothy 2. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Woo! And verse 21. Can we speak this together, please? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. See, because God has given us truth, we want to be able to rescue those who have been taken captive. Taken captive. It's a terrible place to be. Captivity of the mind, the heart, and the will, the enemy. You know, God has so much for us. Let's not put him in a box, but let's allow him to do what he wants to do. Let's stop making compromises, reasoning, excuses while we do what we do. Let's come to the truth and say, listen, I repent, I'm a sinner, I've done this, and I don't want to do it anymore, and cry out for help. Don't justify it. Get help. There is help in every area. You can get on the internet and go to theeternallibrary.org. And there's a lot of help on there, I can tell you right now. The Word of God is powerful. It won't return void. But you got to speak it and then obey it. Become a doer of the Word and you will find freedom. Freedom. Become a worshiper of God's presence. Get to the point where it doesn't matter how you feel. Tell Him, Lord, I want to love your presence. Make confession of it. I want to be a lover of your presence. I want to be a lover of your presence. A lover of your presence. And worship him. Because without his presence, we're nothing. Nothing. That's why people go to search for other things. Because they're actually looking for the presence of God. But it doesn't come in a bottle. You can't buy God's presence at a liquor store. You can't smoke it out of a carton of cigarettes. Or dope. You can't find God's presence in fornication or pornography, adultery and idolatry. You can't find God's presence there. But you can certainly find God's presence as you worship. And that's where you change. Amen? Come on, you have dominion over that thing. Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory and honor, praise, and thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the seed that's been imparted. Let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And quicken us to these areas, Lord. We exchange our heart for your heart today. Our words for your words. Our thoughts for your thoughts. Our presence for your presence. And our life for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can bring your offerings up and prepare your heart for communion.